The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 33rd Chapter, Text Number 19, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on September 7th, 1992, in Vrindavan.
So now I'm going to back up. Yesterday we read verse 15, which was the beginning of a description of the home and household paraphernalia of Cardamom, where Devahuti was now living alone. So text 16 has no purport. The opulence of the household of Cardamomuni is described herein. The bedsheets and mattresses were all as white as the foam of milk. The chairs and benches were made of ivory and were covered by cloths of lace with golden filigree. And the couches were made of gold and had very soft pillows. Next. The walls of the house were made of first-class marble, decorated with valuable jewels. There was no need of light, for the household was illuminated by the rays of these jewels. The female members of the household were all amply decorated with jewelry. I said she was living alone. We'll read a little later that by alone I mean her father or her husband or her son were not there, but there were many maidservants. Purport, it is understood from this statement that the opulences of household life were exhibited in valuable jewels, ivory, first-class marble, and furniture made of gold and jewels. The clothes are also mentioned as being decorated with golden filigree. Actually, everything had some value. It was not like the furniture of the present day, which is cast in valueless plastic or base metal. The way of Vedic civilization is that whatever was used in household affairs had to be valuable. In case of need, such items of value could be exchanged immediately. Thus one's broken and unwanted furniture and paraphernalia would never be without value. This system is still followed by Indians in household affairs. They keep metal utensils and golden ornaments or silver plates and valuable silk garments with gold embroidery. And in case of need, they can have some money exchanged immediately. There are exchanges for the money lenders and the householders. Text 18, with no purport. The compound of the main household was surrounded by beautiful gardens with sweet, fragrant flowers and many trees which produced fresh fruit and were tall and beautiful. The attraction of such gardens was that singing birds would sit on the trees and their chanting voices, as well as the humming sound of the bees, made the whole atmosphere as pleasing as possible. And today's verse. When Devahuti would enter that lovely garden to take her bath in the pond filled with lotus flowers, the associates of the denizens of heaven, the Gandharvas, would sing about Kardama's glorious household life. Her great husband, Kardama, gave her all protection at all times. Purport. The ideal husband and wife relationship is very nicely described in this statement. Cardamom Muni gave Devahuti all sorts of comforts in his duty as a husband, but he was not at all attached to his wife. As soon as his son Kapiladeva was grown up, Cardamom at once left all family connection. Similarly, Devahuti was the daughter of a great king, Svayambhuvamanu, and was qualified and beautiful, but she was completely dependent on the protection of her husband. According to Manu, women, the fair sex, should not have independence at any stage of life. In childhood, a woman must be under the protection of her parents. In youth, she must be under the protection of the husband. And in old age, she must be under the protection of the grown children. Devahuti demonstrated all these statements of the Manu Samhita in her life. As a child, she was dependent on her father. Later, she was dependent on her husband, in spite of her opulence. And later, she was dependent on her son, Kapiladeva. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namah Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Charane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prasthitari Karne. I will speak mostly on this point that Kardama Muni was not attached to his wife, although he supplied her all comforts. There is a great deal of instruction by Srila Prabhupada in his books about attachment, so he should understand what it is, what is the result of attachment. Because this Krishna conscious philosophy is based on Sanskrit scripture, we always want to know the Sanskrit terminology. So there are various words that could be used for this English attach or attachment, such as raga in Bhagavad Gita, vita raga vaya koda. There raga is mentioned as something very unfavorable for spiritual life, along with fear and anger. The English word, as well as the Sanskrit word, the English word attachment or the Sanskrit word raga, they're also neutral in that they may be used materially or spiritually. Often we hear that actually the English language, being so contaminated or associated with materialistic civilization, not being perfect language like Sanskrit, is inadequate to describe spiritual knowledge. And this may be particularly true when the discussion becomes more advanced in rasa. And Srila Prabhupada certainly acknowledged this. He used to make fun of the English poetry compared to Sanskrit poetry, which Sanskrit is so perfect with meter and metaphor. It's not like your English poetry where one line is 1 foot long and the next line is 10 feet long. However, Prabhupada, perhaps more than any Vaishnavacharya, or we can take out that perhaps, more than any Vaishnavacharya, has preached in English and has, without embarrassment, or has very compassionately himself translated words, which of course are in the English vocabulary, sometimes not even that, but he has mostly given us words in English which he was confident could convey the thrust of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. This is another one of these things we take for granted in his context. But Prabhupada very fearlessly preached as a preacher, knowing that mostly his Western audiences are not going to be that interested or capable of understanding the Sanskrit. So he gave it to them as far as possible in English, not always saying it can't be done, it can't be translated. So this word attachment was a favorite of Prabhupada, if you want to gauge by the number of times he used it and what he meant by it. In English it can be used as a verb. A verb is an action word like run or throw or hit, attach. So it has a simple mechanical meaning, to fasten or stick something, like this is attached to the microphone is attached to the microphone stand. But the meaning that we are more interested in Krishna consciousness is to connect by ties of affection or attraction. And when you use attach as a noun, a thing or a person as a noun, attachment, then it simply means affectionate regard or devotion. So you see it's a neutral word, ready for application materially or spiritually. And the thing that is very detrimental is material attachment, having that affection or regard for things material. So what's wrong with material attachment? Which is what the materialist will say. And the great fault is, it will cause samsara, it will cause repeated birth and death. Especially at the time of death, those things we have that attachment or regard for, they appear in the mind and heart, and they determine the next life. And anything that's there, materially, will cause it to come back. Whether it's some wretched thing, or some grand idea, or love, as long as it's not Krishna, but it's something other than Krishna attraction, then we will come back for that. So, put it another way, attachment to anything is a distraction from being attached to Krishna. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in describing the 10 offenses, he describes inattention and chanting, pramada. And he in one of his descriptions, he says that when you try to chant, because you're attached to things like women and wealth or enjoyment, you think of those things. And you cannot pay attention to the chanting. So this is a graphic example of how it works. That you can't think of Krishna, you'd like to, by your intelligence, but you have this strong bond, attachment to the other things, so you go to them. It prevents you from being Krishna conscious. And for devotees who are making serious commitment and struggle to become Krishna conscious and always think of Krishna, we feel these bonds preventing us. And we seek to cut the bonds or break the bonds. Prahlad Maharaj was teaching about attachment in his instructions to his schoolmates. And he said, what person too attached to household life, being unable to control his senses, can liberate himself? An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection. In that verse, the word is used, sneha pashaya, affection, in the form of ropes that tie you down. Another expression is ridaya granta, same metaphor, ropes, a knots in the heart that break if we want to be Krishna conscious. And then Prahlad says, how can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, how can he give up their association? So this description is very clear, that within the core of the heart, the very center of your being, where you really feel things, there are pictures. And these pictures of family members or family attachments that you cherish. And he says, if those pictures are there, how can you give them up? They're very hard to give up. We do different things in sense gratification, and then later we think of them, and our thinking is colored with them, just like cloth gets dyed a certain color. So you retain the color of the attachment, the raga, of your material sense gratification in your mind. And of course we regularly renew it. Whenever we again act in sense gratification, then we saturate our mind and self, and it will come up again. So the devotee wants to break these attachments. Queen Kunti prayed to the Lord, you please help me to, I have undue affection or attachment for my families, my two families. The woman has two families, paternal and husbands, Vrishnis and Pandavas. So, actually, affection for the Vrishnis and Pandavas is not outside of devotional service, because they are devotees. But she was saying, I want to break that affectionate family tie, because it's preventing me from single-mindedly loving you. I want to love you just the way the Ganges flows without interruption to the sea. Prabhupada explains in the purport that although the Pandavas and Vrishnis are devotees, she had a skin attachment to them, or a family attachment, which is what she wanted to break. When the attachment is there for persons based on the soul, then that is not at all detrimental. But when it's based on skin or bodily connection, this is the attachment that causes us to not be fully devoted to Krishna and to attain Krishna consciousness. But everyone in this world has these attachments, and even if we break certain attachments, we have an innate nature of developing regard or affection for some persons or some things. Therefore, the Krishna conscious solution is to transfer attachments from matter to spirit. We don't say that you try the impossible to be unattached to anything, have no affection. Even if a person theoretically could attain this, as is the goal for some transcendentalists, like the Buddhist or Mayavadi, then that would not qualify you for Krishna consciousness. I have no attachments. I don't love at all. Having no attachments equals Mayavada. So it may even be better when we come to Krishna consciousness to have had some idea of love, affection, attachment, in the positive sense, and then we can transfer that energy to Krishna. And this is the proposal. The same Devahuti, earlier in this section, she prays to her son to teach her transcendental knowledge. And she states that learned persons know attachment for material things is the cause of bondage. But if one is attached to self-realized persons, this brings liberation. So she wished to be attached to her transcendental son and her transcendental husband. The same dynamic teaching was given by Narada in his conversations with Vyasadeva. He says, does not a thing treated therapeutically cure the disease which was caused by the same thing? And Prabhupada gives the example that too much milk product gives you some disease, and the cure for the disease is milk product. But the milk product is treated therapeutically. It's yogurt, not milk. And Narada goes on to explain more how this positive energy can be utilized by becoming attached to relations among devotees and those things that we are fond for, not only persons, but things we like to do, tendencies we may have. If they can, or talents, they can be utilized for glorifying Krishna. And this will then purify us of the attachment. So attachment we want. We want attachment for the holy name of Krishna. In the nectar of devotion, the symptoms of steady ecstasy. One of them is, he's attached to chanting the holy names. He likes to live in a holy place, like Vrindavan. One is attached to the deity, and so on. But in order to achieve this, in this verse, the particular attachment of family affection is described as an obstacle. So how to break that? Ideally, husband and wife should be Krishna conscious. But when they are not, then there are so many problems. In fact, so the family should be, the work should be to spiritualize the relationship. Every relationship requires some work. Friendship, love, husband and wife, and so on. A teacher and student. You can't let a relationship lie dormant. You have to develop it and work on it. For the karmis, they work on it by mutual sense gratification. But spiritual relationships should be to spiritualize it. And this is what husband and wife should be working at. Not that I think there is some Maya in this relationship, let us break up. I will renounce my relationship with you and my children. But the patient work of spiritualizing is the work of Grihastha. In the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the items of knowledge, one of them is detachment from family. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, it is not that one should not have affection or regard for these things, but they have to be Krishna conscious. And then he gives a simple, blissful formula, how family members can gather in the morning and have kirtan, and then again at the end of the day, and spiritualize their relationship. If that cannot be done, then one has to take other measures so that the ultimate goal of life, becoming detached from matter and detached from Krishna, can go on without detainment. And so there are many cases of persons having to break out of family life in order to save themselves. When Gopi Singha asked his son, what is the best thing you learned in school? He said, to leave household life that is like a blind well and go to the forest. Or self-realization. Or Prabhupada translates vanam as brindam. There are so many descriptions of the maya of household life. How the wife is the gateway to hell for the man. How the man is like a hunter blowing a flute to attract the deer for the woman. They're both led into ruin by their skin attachment or family attachment. But there's one purport part of our read where Prabhupada says how the family life can be spiritualized. He says in the third canto, the relationship between man and woman is very complicated, but the substance is that one who aspires to ascend to the transcendental stage of spiritual realization should be very careful in accepting the association of a woman. In the stage of Krishna consciousness, however, such restriction of association may be slapping, because if a man's and woman's attachment is not to each other, but to Krishna, then both of them are equally eligible to get out of the material entanglement and reach the abode of Krishna. As it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who seriously takes to Krishna consciousness, whether in the lowest species of life or a woman, etc., will go back home, back to Godhead, and reach the abode of Krishna. A man should not be attached to a woman, nor should a woman be attached to a man. Both man and woman should be attached to the service of the Lord. Then there is the possibility of liberation from material entanglement for both of them. There are always gray areas in relationships where people may be a little Krishna conscious, but we should, and another person is more Krishna, more serious about Krishna consciousness. That often happens with devotees and their parents. So a devotee tries to maintain a relationship with a non-devotee in order to help that person become Krishna conscious. In that sense, the non-devotee is interested in us because of material attachment or skin disease. But we may, without ourselves being attached on that level, show them mercy and try to help them in their Krishna consciousness. In a sense, this is the basis of preaching activity. Very clearly, we should not associate with materially attached persons. Then the question is asked, how can we preach to them? Because we go to them not to engage in material affairs, but to give them Krishna consciousness. So we are attached to following our guru's order and or to spreading Krishna consciousness. And with this in mind, we may associate with persons who are not interested in Krishna. But in any case, whether it's in family or in preaching, we should not be attached. We cannot be attached to results of family life or even preaching. And further, there are so many attachments. One can, after getting out of household life, he can be attached to so many concepts of false ego, thinking, I'm a renounced person, I'm an advanced devotee. These are the hardest attachments to give up. Desire for fame, for self-regard. And they all keep us from being able to appreciate the all-attractive Krishna and to meditate on Krishna's pastimes and to understand the actual eternal place where we simply love Krishna and there's no distraction because we are broken free of all other attachments. And this is the definition of pure love. With all affection placed in Krishna and none in any other person or any other object. When the affection is placed in Krishna, then it spreads out in a benevolent way as the devotee tries to bring others to Krishna. But he is always single-minded in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So there may be some questions or something wasn't clear in discussion.
Srila Prabhupada points out the ideal relationship between husband and wife, but we often see that even if there isn't any attachment, but the attachment develops by someone, how can we solve this?
You're saying even if a husband and wife, they don't have so much attachment, the attachment develops?
Yeah, becoming children like that in the relationship itself.
Well, Prabhupada said it's very complicated, and I don't have so much experience. But according to the Shastras, well, as I've already said, at each step in the development of your family life, you have to keep Krishna in the center. So, to have it, Prahlad Maharaji described that first the girl and the boy see each other and something starts. And then when they actually have union, then the knot is formed. And then they have children, another more knots are put on. And the man thinks that I worked so hard to be a good family man, people should appreciate me. And so he has more attachment, he wants to be regarded. So, as family life develops, as you're saying, there's more and more attachments added. But a Krishna conscious person, at each step, he can do those things in a spiritual way. Having children is a wonderful opportunity to actually purify the relationship and try to raise the child in Krishna consciousness. Then if he lives simply, if he lives a simple grihastha life, as advocated by Narada Muni and his instructions about ideal family life to King Yudhisthira, then he'll always be chanting and hearing. He won't be working very hard for Ubhu Karma and trying to get more and more money. He'll be serving the Vaishnavas. So that family life needn't be further and further knots, but it's meant to be a progress through life of keeping Krishna in the center. And that has to constantly be your friendship and your communication of husband and wife is always to this point. Husband and wife get together not to say, how can we increase our capital? How can we enjoy sex more? How can this, how can that? But how can we become more Krishna conscious? And if they work in that way, then as family life develops, rather it can be more and more renunciation towards vanaprastha.
Thank you.
If a householder wants to take sannyas, he has to wait till the son is grown up, so that the son can take care of the wife, and that take a long time. So taking sannyas doesn't mean just when you're 60 or whatever, but you wear saffron. You can take sannyas within the household life while having the children. That's the real meaning of sannyas, is to use things in the service of Krishna. But household life, what your question implies, is a long-term, very serious commitment. And that's what it means, that you cannot take sannyas when you're young, and you do have to wait until so many things are taken care of. So one should be very sober before taking household life and understand what it means. Not expect it to be so easy. But by working out all these difficulties, he becomes purified. But this idea that my spiritual life has to wait until I take sannyas, that's not there. You can preach, you can worship, serve the guru, everything with equal facility as Vihastha or as sannyas. You can be Ramananda Roy, or you can be Swarup Damodar, the equally intimate devotee to Lord Chaitanya. One Vihastha, one Brahmachari sannyas. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Sindhya.